And I had been listening to that. I think I've listened to it about 6 or 7 times because I just want to really get it. And then I heard a teaching from Andrew Warmick. I heard one from Joseph Prince. And I read a book. So I feel like God really wants us to know who we are in Him. And I can't incorporate everything that I've listened to and read tonight, but hopefully get to the gist of developing a godly self-image. So, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is truth. We thank you, Lord, that your word has the ability to transform us. And we just bless you for it tonight in Jesus' name. So I told Pastor Dave yesterday I had to do some research on Jeremiah 48:11 because I read that scripture. Remember, I think it was the last time Pastor Tim Pritchard ministered. He said, you know, you read a scripture and you go, Lord, what does that mean? So Jeremiah 48:11 says, Moab has been at ease from his youth. He has settled on his dreads, and he has not been emptied from vessel to vessel, nor has he gone into captivity. Therefore, his taste remained in him, and his scent has not changed. What does that mean? So I went to a commentary to try to help me understand this particular scripture and how it's applicable to developing a godly self-image. And what I learned was that Moab is not a person, it was a nation. And Moab in this particular scripture by Jeremiah is likened unto wine that is allowed to sit in a jar undisturbed. So I learned a little bit about dreads and lees, L-E-E-S. Don't know much about wine making, but it's a metaphor. The scripture is a metaphor taken from the preserving of wine. And I, like I said, I don't know that much about wine, but I've shared with you all before, my mom used to make dandelion wine. And my brother and I would go and pick the dandelions, and I don't know what she did. I can't remember what she did with them, but I remember one time in the pantry, and this is just a funny, but one time in the pantry, I guess it was fermenting, and whatever she, the vessel she had it in, it burst wide open. So what I know is that what the lees and the dreads are, it's when you add yeast to the grapes and they start to ferment and convert into sugar and into alcohol and carbon dioxide. And how this applies to developing a godly image is that it says that Moab's, he hadn't been poured out, gone from vessel to vessel. And most of us sitting in here, we've had life experiences that have caused us to be poured out. Right. You know, we couldn't stay in the same vessel or in the same circumstance. And I'm sure I could ask each one of you and you could give me a litany of experiences that you've had. And it says in the scripture that they hadn't been to war. They never left their country. They just kind of sat and did nothing. One of the other things is, let me find what my note here. They had tried to form an alliance, Moab had tried to form an alliance with Judah and Babylon and had gotten to the point that they were about to suffer the anger of Babylon. And this was also a punishment from God. Jeremiah pictures the scene as the land devastated, people crying out in distress, refusing freeing from invading armies. But at the end of this commentary, it said, yet God in his mercy will again preserve a remnant. And when we think about that, we can see this even in our land today. You know, our land in many ways is devastated. People are crying out in distress. They're worried about wars and rumors of wars. You know, the economy, the food, and everything. But we need to remember that God in his mercy will preserve a remnant. And then the second scripture Pastor Dave gave is Romans 8, 28 and 29. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. Number one, God created man in his image. In Genesis 1, 26, it says, do we have that one? I'm sorry. We didn't finish. Oh, I'm sorry. Can you go back? For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And then God created man in his image in Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. A triune being, a spirit, soul, and body. And in addition, God gave man, and the first fill in there is dominion. And we see that in Genesis 1:28. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over everything that moves on the earth. So in that, and through Jesus Christ, the Father was restoring, that's the second fill-in, both the godly image and dominion. And in 1 John 3:8, it says, do we have that one? It says, he who commits sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And you know, this isn't in your outline, but you might want to write the scripture down. Ephesians 4, 22 through 24 talks about God created us in true righteousness and holiness. And then 1 Peter, write this one down too, 1 Peter 3:18, the Bible tells us that Christ suffered once for sin, the just for the unjust. And then in Romans 5:8, God demonstrated his own love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, he died for us. So this just confirms the scriptures that I'd already, you know, given you. Pastor Dave says, if we are to successfully fulfill the Great Commission, we must know God loves us and have a proper self-love so that we can love our neighbors as ourselves. And one of the things I listened, I think it was last week, and a little bit this week, thank you, to a teaching by Andrew Warmick on The Old Man is Dead. Really good teaching. And one of the things that he said there that really was, to me, was profound as it relates to Jesus dying once and taking upon himself our sin is that, you know, I don't know that I was taught when I received Jesus that my old man was dead and gone. But he made the statement, he says, just as the flesh without the spirit is dead. We can't be alive and have the old man alive at the same time. We can't live in two realms. The old man is dead. And we have to know that the new created man that we became when we asked Jesus to come into our lives is the real person. You know? And I think it's really important for us to know that, because otherwise, when we fall, when we sin, because we do sin, but we have an advocate with the Father. And what I know is that what sin does, and it could be, I mean, it could be the smallest thing. It doesn't have to be big sin, because we know big sins. And I don't think as Christians we commit big sins. We don't rob banks. We don't kill people. You know, we don't hurt children. You know, it's the little stuff. And when you find yourself caught in it, what does it bring? It brings shame. It brings guilt. It brings condemnation. And what happens is that there's a tendency, I think, because, and the other thing about that old man being dead, and Joseph Prince says this too, is that we still, even though, I'll give you this example, Andrew said, I thought it was really good. He, you know, you said the body without, you know, the body without the spirit, I mean, the body without the spirit is dead. He said he had a friend that, I guess he did autopsies or, you know, like, and there was a person that he was about to do an autopsy on, and he went to get his equipment, and when he came back, the man was sitting up on the gurney, you know, with his eyes open. And he, you know, he practically ran, you know, out of the room, but the man was dead. But apparently, you know, because of, electrical impulses in the world and in the system. I'm not a scientist. I don't know how all that works. The muscle reflexes can still work, you know, after the person has passed away. And the body has memory. And so what Joseph Prince says is that even though we are new creations in Christ and we have a new created spirit, the body still holds memory, you know? And so we may act a certain way. We may think a certain way. We may have impulses and desires. And that's why we have to renew our mind. Or we go back to, the body goes back to what it knows because it's been programmed, it's been trained. And so if we don't renew our mind, and I love, I think, I can't remember who said this. I think Joseph Prince says this. We have to reckon what Jesus says about us as so, not based on what we feel or what we think. We have to know that what Jesus says about us is real. It's truth. Amen. And I think that's so good. And we need to know that, because otherwise shame, condemnation, guilt. And what happens is that it doesn't change God's position or his thoughts toward us. But what we tend to do is back up. It hurts our relationships with other people. And it gives the devil an inroad that he has no right to. But he can't do it unless we allow him to. Okay? So, let's see. That was at no cost. All right. So, number two, Pastor Dave says, what problems are associated with developing a good self-image? The first one is past failures and what others think of us. And he uses the example of Jabez in Chronicles 4, 9, and 10. Now, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may cause pain, may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. Jabez, we know, means sorrowful, and his mother gave him that name because she had problems with him, you know, in delivery at birth. And he cried out to God to enlarge, that's the next fill-in, his coast, which means to increase his vision and to bless him, and God answered his cry. And I just wrote here in my note, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. We must also overcome the image of our past. And I know for me, sometimes it's a past, but it's also sometimes culture, you know, in the way I think. You know, you have to let all that stuff go and just remind myself of who I am in Christ, you know. And then another problem associated with developing a good self-image are past successes. Pastor Dave says, past successes can cause us to be at ease in Zion. We get comfortable. We get familiar. You know, I remember hearing a bishop say, you know, when we get close to people, like I have this little thing on my face right now, you know, I can tell it's there, I can feel it, but you probably can't see it. But if you got real close to me, you could see it. And when we get close to each other, we see stuff that maybe we don't want to see in the other person, you know? And we can get ease with that, you know? We can say, well, she didn't talk to me, so I'm not going to talk to her, you know? She didn't speak to me, I'm not going to speak to her. Well, you know, that's not the character of God, right? Craziness, right? You know, and God wants us to be so free in him that we can let, you know, you hear the term like roll off the like water like off a duck's back, where you let it go. You let that stuff go, you know? And if it needs to be addressed, you do it in a godly manner, you know? So he gives us the example of David. And it says here, it was at a time in David's greatest successes that he opened himself up to temptation and sin that severely damaged his image. So let's look at 2 Samuel 11:1-4. It happened in the spring of the year, at the time when the kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all of Israel, and they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. Then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed and walked out on the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold. He was already in trouble, right? Okay. All right. One more. Got one more verse? Okay. All right. So David sent and inquired about the woman, and someone said, is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? Then David sent messengers and took her, and she came to him, and he lay with her, and she was cleansed from her impurity, and she returned to her house. So he was in trouble. The eye gate was open, and then everything else. let's see. So Pastor Dave in our lesson tonight gives us ways that David went about overcoming his failure. And you know, I shared a couple of weeks ago about Elijah. The same thing happened with him, and he had great success, but then he fell. And Pastor Dave gives us Psalms 51 to show how David overcame his failures. And I have a couple of scriptures here that are from they're the scriptures that he gave, but I wrote them down in the Passion, from the Passion Translation. And I think they're really good. But the first thing he did was he cast himself on the goodness and love of God. That's the fill-in. We must stay free from guilt and condemnation. And I think that's so important, that when the Bible says there is now no condemnation, right, unto those who love the Lord, right? So when condemnation tries to come, we have to remind ourselves that positionally we're still seated with Christ in heavenly places, right. You know, and we look at our circumstances from that vantage point, not from the earth. So in the Passion Translation, this is what David said. God, give me mercy from your fountain of forgiveness. We can do that. I know your abundant love is enough to wash away my guilt. Because your compassion is so great, take away the shameful guilt of sin. Forgive the full extent of my rebellious ways. I like that. Because sometimes it is just pure rebellion, you know? I want what I want when I want it. And ease this deep stain on my conscience. Wash here, the word, when he says wash, the word wash here in the Hebrew is the word, I think, kabas, K-A-B-A-S. So David was asking for his royal robes to be cleansed from the stain of his actions and that he be publicly restored. Now we know now we wear a robe of righteousness, you know? We're clean. We may not pray that prayer the way David did, but we surely could say to him, wash away my guilt, cleanse me from my guilt, cleanse me from my shame, help me with my rebellious ways, especially if we know it's willful, you know? And then in verses 3 and 6, it says, David acknowledges his image problem. That's a fill-in. He was radically honest. And we must be honest with God as well. You know, we can't, I can't remember the exact title of it. There was a book years ago, it was called Faith or Presumption. And sometimes we presume upon God's grace and we're not already, you know, well, he knows I'm human. God knows my heart. Well, no, if you mess up, you mess up, and you have to be real with him, right? So David says, for I'm so ashamed. I feel such pain and anguish within me. I can't get away from the sting of my sin against you, Lord. Listen to this. He says, everything I did right in front of you. Yeah. Sometimes we forget God is right there. Holy Spirit's right there. He sees and he knows all, right? everything you said to me is infallibly true, and your judgment conquers. Lord, I have been a sinner from birth, from the moment my mother conceived me. I know that you delight to set your truth deep in my spirit. So come into the hidden places of my heart and teach me wisdom. We can say that to the Lord. Come into my heart. Teach me wisdom. Yes. Now, we're not sinners saved by grace anymore. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But when we mess up, we can say, God, you know, show me wisdom. You know, illuminate the darkness that, you know, causes me to, you know, fall back on that old nature, the things that the flesh drives me to do. You know, we can ask God to help us with that. He will. He wants to. And even when he chastens us, his love is so strong for us that he can correct the mistakes we make and take us to the next level as long as we're willing to repent. Right. And say, God, help, you know. And then our image isn't scarred because it does not change. We're still, okay, so if you, I can't believe a Christian would do this, but if you go out and you do something really heinous, you're still seated with him, but there are consequences for sin, you know, and you have to deal with those consequences. That they don't go away because we're dealing with horizontal relationship, but the vertical relationship doesn't change, you know. Thank God for his mercy. Amen. Yeah. So then in verse 10, he asked the Lord for cleansing and a right. And Pastor Dave says, literally, a steadfast spirit. And he says, keep creating in me a clean heart. Fill me with pure thoughts. I love this part right here. He says, fill me with pure thoughts and holy desires, ready to please you. Because if you're there, you're not going to want to sin, right? Right? Did I lose anybody in the fill-ins? Okay, which one? Right. Right. Mm-hmm. And then in verse 12, he says, because godly sorrow has worked repentance. That's the fill-in. And I think true godly sorrow does work repentance. You know, when you go to God and you're totally honest with him, you know, and you realize, you know, your behavior, your action, whatever, how you treated a spouse or a friend or whatever, it breaks God's heart, then you want to repent. And you also know, I think it was Paul. He said he counted his righteousness as dung to have the righteousness of God. You know, it's not our righteousness anymore. It's not about us and what we do. It's him in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. And when we realize that we've somehow offended him, you want to repent. And so that's what David did. And then in the passion says, let my passion for life be restored, tasting joy in every breakthrough you bring to me. Because, you know, the trials and things we go through, like the pouring out, even though they're really hard things. And for us individually, they're different things. But your thing is hard for you. My thing's hard for me, you know. When God brings you through, there is joy. There is peace. There is reconciliation with him. There is hope, you know. But if we stay in it, then you don't have that. And it makes you pull away. He says, let my passion for life be restored, tasting the joy of every breakthrough you bring me to. Hold me close to you with a willing spirit that obeys whatever you say. And then finally, in verse 17, David learns the key to maintaining a good self-image. And the fill-in there is to walk in humility, in the humility of the Lord. To walk in the humility of the Lord. And the passion says, the foundation of your presence is found in the sacrifice of my shattered heart before you. You will not despise my tenderness as I bow down humbly at your feet. And verse 19 says, and when we are fully restored, you will rejoice and take delight. I'm going to read that again. Verse 19 says, and when you are fully restored, you will rejoice and take delight in every offering of our lives as we bring our sacrifices of righteousness before you in love. Amen. Amen.
Wow. I think that spirit that David manifested, you know, demonstrated that he was a man after God's own heart. Yeah. right? Wasn't trying to cover up, all that kind of good stuff. And how many know we all ought to walk in that kind of spirit, right? And God does restore joy to us when we blow it. So he's a good God. Well, everybody come on down. We're going to have